Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are continuing our series through Acts. I'm honestly not sure what week we're on, but we are on
11.
Chapter 8. I'm here joined by lead pastor Jose Averoa. Jose,
good
welcome back to
be
the podcast.
Here, Taylor.
And the doctor. The doctor is here. He's a traveler, business traveler, worldwide traveler. He was back in Georgia and then back again to have us on the podcast. But Sean, great for you to be here, and you did a great job on Sunday. So excited to talk more.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back. I love being on here and I love hanging out with you guys. It's gonna be fun.
Well, Sean, we'll jump right in because there is so much to unpack about this chapter. I'd love to hear your thoughts on not only just the message that God showed you. I know this passage has been something that's been on your heart for a while, but even just the beauty of going through a book and going through 11 weeks together, and just the how is that easier to teach, harder to preach from, and just kind of love your behind the scenes on that.
Yeah, I think it's easier to teach in that I know exactly where I'm going to be, exactly what I need to be studying and what I need to be paying attention to in my other life where I teach on topics all the time. So I teach on marriage, or I teach on parenting, or I teach on communication or leadership. It's topical. And so you got to go through and you find the points. And there are times when I feel like when I'm doing that I have to be very careful to make sure the audience doesn't think I'm just nitpicking verses out of context to justify points that I'm making. So when you get to do a study like we are through the book of Acts, the audience and the people are, and you're seeing, hey, this is verse by verse. Like, we're not skipping or pulling this out. We are in the context of it. So I think that's really fun because it allows you to dig into what God is really saying in the breadth of the passage, not just one or two words or one or two verses.
Well, let's talk about this passage in Acts 8, because you did a great job talking about what it looks like to spread the word. We're looking at the early church. We're looking at the obedience of the disciples. But what kind of stood out to you just even a while back as far as reading this passage, hearing about this passage?
I love it. I happened to be in Colorado this summer, and I heard a pastor teach on this story with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And it just hit my heart in a significant way. And I've been thinking about it for a while. I came back and told Jose how excited I was about this passage I had heard, this pastor and the story that I, the way he had unpacked it. So there was so much in it that was powerful for me. Even the more I've thought about it, and I didn't say this in the message, but I did say that at one point in my life, I heard God say, you'll never be king, but you'll be able to come alongside kings. And it just hit me that, that's exactly what this eunuch was. He was a person who would never be king. He would never have kids.
Yeah.
And yet God saw him, and God put him in a place of favor, and God cared so much about him that he sent Philip to talk about him. So maybe there's something deep there in terms of why it resonates with me. But I just think it's powerful that the Lord put Acts chapter 8 in there so that we could see this message start to scatter and start to see it go find everyday people like you and I, and his love for us. So all of that is powerful. Interestingly enough, the guy this summer, he really emphasized the baptism. That was his biggest component of that. So he really mentioned and dug in and actually had people come forward, and many people were baptized in his church because he said, look at this eunuch who receives the Lord, and the first chance he gets, he wants to be baptized. And for whatever reason, I didn't feel like that's the route that God took me down as I was studying it, or where our church was, or what they needed to hear in that moment.
So there's something there that is also tied to the beauty of doing this as a church, verse by verse. There's one thing that when we read scripture, we personally receive. So we can dig and go as deep in our own study. We can look at as many sermons or commentaries, or we personally can really dig as deep as we want to on our own, and that's important. But the preached word on Sunday morning has a different purpose. It's collective. It's edifying, glorifying of Jesus. It serves the purpose of why we need to gather on Sunday morning. It's not just for the word. We need to worship, and we need to fellowship, and we need to be sent out, right? So there's the belong aspect, there's the reach, but there's this grow thing that happens when I feel the same way often, Sean, where I'm like, ooh, I know this part about this passage, and I can't wait to hit it. And then when I get to Sunday, it doesn't come out. And so God really does use whoever is speaking to feed the people what they need in that time. So it's not the one and done. All right, I heard that message once, and now I don't need to hear it again. No, we need to hear it over and over and over. And God just sovereignly shows up in a powerful way when we receive on Sunday morning.
As you're saying that, just real quick, for those of you that are listening here, you may listen online to the services on Sunday, and you may travel, and I'm great. Hear the word any way that you can, and listen to great teaching and preaching from any church that you can. But that gathering that you just talked about and the power of that, I was just listening to another Devo yesterday that my boss at Chick-fil-A was doing, and he was talking about the value of the church and the need to gather. Mm-hmm. And when you do hear that word collectively, even the conversations you have with the people around can kind of reemphasize something for you maybe from the message. And so when you can, get to church on Sunday mornings. It's an exciting time here at Cypress Creek Church. Anyway, you want to be a part of it. You want to see what's going on.
One more thing on that, just because you brought that up, I've been actually thinking, sitting on this for a while, so I'm going to share it because you just brought it up. I think the difference between listening to a great sermon, which I do, I mean, I listen to great preachers, I receive a lot from them, a lot of information, conviction, it sharpens the sword, all those things. Those things are important. But the difference between listening to content, to going to church, is a pastor is able to know you and love you and care for you and shepherd you. And that's a different mode than just a teacher who's there to preach good content, powerful content, convicting content. None of that is wrong. But there's something, and again, it's tied to Acts 8 because the word scatters. Mm-hmm. The main central hub of the early church isn't in Jerusalem. It goes out to where people are. Jesus made his dwelling place on earth. He came to us. We are to go to people. And that's why a local church is important.
It's so important. Information changes people, but experiences transform people and experience with the Lord. You think we can filibuster this whole 30 minutes and not let Taylor ask a single question?
This is great.
I think we can,
we'll
Jose.
We'll see. We'll see. Well, what do you think about this, Taylor?
Absolutely. I agree. I think not just the collective nature of it, but both of y'all did a great job of this as we've been going through Acts, but slowing down and really looking. It's not just in context, but I think taking it slowly. And something, Sean, that stood out to me, I've read this passage before. For those who are listening that have done maybe the Bible in a year or maybe 2 or 3 years, depending on the speed, sometimes you read a passage like this and you blaze past it. You're kind of reading it amongst many other chapters. And so just even you highlighting what God was asking Philip to do and just recognizing, like, put ourselves in his shoes. Like, you don't want to do that. Like, that looks embarrassing. Like, just think little details like that, that are in scripture, that are in the word, that I think just help bring out a whole nother truth and meaning and context and even appreciation for what many of the early church went through and did. Because in some ways you skip right to the baptism and you're like, okay, great. Yeah, that's a great story. But you really stopping and realizing the faith that was required along the way amongst all the early church and the disciples and that. So that just the speed in which we go through it collectively, I think some of that's really helpful because y'all break it down. We've got the daily devotionals that, you know, pick it apart even more. But just that idea of really resonating on the truths that we have. And Sean, I think the part we have, there's so many nuggets and points and things that we could kind of talk on. I'd love to talk about just the idea of discerning God's voice, because I think that could be a whole series. I think that's such a common question that so many people have. I remember in college really wrestling with that when I'm like, what do I major in, or what do I do after college? Or just, you know, I still have moments like that of, I think, us yearning for discerning God's voice. And so you listed out, I think it was 7 different kind of ways and recommendations there, but I'd love to kind of look at that list. We can talk about one or all 7 of them, but just kind of why is that so important, especially as we see Philip and the way that so much would have changed if he hadn't discerned the voice of God?
It's critical in our day, I think, where there are voices coming at us from everywhere. If you're involved at all at social media or traditional media, or you're reading things, or even like Jose said, you're listening to good preaching, where information is coming at us all the time. And yet there is this one voice that needs to be louder than any of the others, and it's the voice of the Lord. He loves you. He made you. He knows you. He wants the best for you. He would love to guide and direct your life and bring you comfort and healing. So this is critical. You know, how do we hear his voice in the midst of everything else that's coming at us. And I'm convinced that this is one of the enemy's key strategies in the world today, is to make his voice, the enemy's voice, louder, or distract us so much that we do not hear the voice of our good shepherd who wants to guide us, you know, beside still waters and let us lay down in green pastures. That God is still our God. Mm-hmm. And yet if we don't hear him, it doesn't matter. It doesn't do any good. You can have the best parents in the world if you're a child. And if you choose to disobey him, not listen to him, you're going to go off and do your own thing. So I think it's just important for us to stop and think about all the people in the Bible who did hear from the Lord. And the thing is, it is kind of easy, at least in my mind, to think, well, that was in the Bible times. I mean, yeah, sure, he talked to people back then. I mean, what else did they have going on? They didn't have TVs or phones or radios. And, you know, he was walking on earth so clearly. But he's the same God today, and he wants the same relationship, and he wants the same communication with us today. And I think it starts with us getting better at listening. Mm-hmm. And slowing down our speech. You know, we want to talk to God. We want to tell God what we need. We want to tell God even good things. We want to give him a list of things we're grateful for. We hear that a lot, you know, to counter anxiety and battle things. All that's us talking. Mm-hmm. It's like, what does it look like for us to pause long enough to listen and see what he has to say?
Yeah, I think in addition to the listening, to your point, these YWAM, what was his name?
Lauren Cunningham.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. these seven are great. He didn't have social media then. He didn't have the technology that we have today. In order to listen, we have to lower the volume of all of those mm-hmm. things that you talked about mm-hmm. earlier. In addition to, and this is a hard one, in addition to the people that you love, that are closest to you. Because as much as God can speak through people, and he really can, mm-hmm. that's one of those points here. But for me, to truly believe that Jesus doesn't call me a servant, he doesn't call me a slave, he calls me his friend. Mm-hmm. So to truly believe that God wants to talk to me like a friend, I need to decrease the volume of all of the other things. And it does take a lot of practice. It takes a lot of sensitivity. And when I find myself anxious, speeding up, needing to prove myself or trying to accomplish a certain thing, it's because I'm letting all those voices crowd out. I need to be still.
Yeah, it popped into my head that needing to be still is so important. It popped into my head that even in our friendship, Jose, there'll be times when we'll be in a conversation and you'll have a lot on your mind or a lot on your heart, and you'll tell me all about it, and you'll talk about it, mm-hmm. and then you'll try to convince me of it, and you'll go, hey, wait, I just need to listen to what you have to say.
Yeah.
And you literally will do that. You'll catch yourself doing that.
And it's shame. Like, I sense shame. It's not anything that you're doing. I'm realizing, oh, shoot, I'm going too fast. I'm sharing too much. I did not stop, pause. And in this case, all right, Lord, what's Sean have to say about this?
Yeah.
Because that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and sorry, I didn't mean to. I don't know if that was shame or what that was. I was just more thinking that's what we mostly all do with the Lord, right? Yeah, like we just go and we justify and we tell and he's like, he already knows all that. Like we're like giving him all the details like he's some unknowing, you know, he already knew all those details. Just pause and listen to what he has to say.
Real quick, I was going to say the phrasing you did during the first gathering, I think you may have said it all three, but just the idea, if you were sitting across from the smartest person in the world, are you going to be talking 95% of the time? It's a silly question, but it really was like oof, that is what I do almost all the time. Even if it's talking about good things or trying to intercess on behalf of other people, it's like there's just a lot of that kind of one-way conversation.
Yeah, and I think I called him friend, but he really is also creator, Lord, master, savior, healer, redeemer, restorer, all the things. So there should be some reverence there, and there should be some awe in, wow, I can be still. And I love that you said this, Sean, because it's easy from the stage to talk about times where God's spoken to us and make it seem like he speaks tangibly through a thought all the time. That's not the case for me. Yeah. I can't tell you times where he has it's been an imprint, a knowing, a gut feeling, you mentioned that, where I know it's God. But oftentimes, he speaks through just, all right, wait and see. And then I'm like, I think that's God. And it's not, sometimes years later, that I look back and realize that was God. Mm-hmm. That was God.
I was hoping we could demystify that a little bit, because just when I'm talking about, okay, not talking 95% of the time, what does that five to hopefully more, what does that look like? Like, are you sitting crisscross on the floor, just looking up at the sky? Yes. I mean, like, what does that actually look like? Because I remember you said that on Sunday, and I was like, yes, I need to do that. But I feel like for some, maybe just me, I'm listening, I'm like, okay, but what does that actually look like? How do you listen more to God?
Yeah, I think the first point on that list was submit yourself to the Lord and really block the other things out so that you can listen. Example for us, you talked about, Taylor, different times in college, you know, trying to discern what should I do, that here or there, major in, or which way should I go. We were at a big moment. We were living out of state and we had a great job, a great opportunity, but we felt like we needed to come back home, we being Christina and I and the family. And we didn't know what to do. And I had a guy in my life who said, hey, you need to take 2 weeks and you need to pray about this. Now, this was a major, like, move my family across mm-hmm. the country, change jobs, change, you know, the path of our, of everything. So you don't always get 2 weeks to do that. And, but in that case, it was that big a deal. Mm-hmm. And we asked for it. We got it. We took the 2 weeks. I prayed. Christina prayed. We haven't had much luck, like, together praying to hear the voice, like, all right, let's just hold hands here together. That hasn't worked for us. So I went individually.
I did mine and
she did hers. And then we came back together after a few days, and it was pretty cool because in that instance, God actually said the same thing to both mm-hmm. of us. Mm-hmm. So I think you got to be able to find that place that to quiet yourself. That's the key. That's what I'm saying there. In that case, the decision was big enough. We had to pull away from our everyday life. In smaller things, you got to find a place in your home. That's when people talk about a prayer closet, or, you know, you got to get out of your normal routine. If you think you're going to run into the Lord, Moses used to have to go up the mountain, and then he would go up there and he would take his sandals off because it was holy ground and he didn't want to, you know, defile it anyway. And then he would meet with the Lord there. I mean, you got to find some place that you pull away from your norm. And it doesn't mean you got to drive out to West Texas to do that, but somewhere where you pull away, where you can really just submit yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am, your servant. I'm listening.
Yeah, submitting also is to His will versus asking God, what is your will for my life? So we can ask ahead of time, pre-decide, I'm going to do God's will. So there are certain things that we don't need to ask whether it's God's will or not. In a relationship, there are very clear boundaries. When you're dating, when you're engaged, things that are God's will, things that are not. So submitting to those means, all right, that's been decided. I don't need to hear tangibly or circumstantially because I already know what God says about this, this, or that. I actually think that solves about 85% of our big life decisions. You know, another thing that you mentioned with work is, what is the motivation of my heart? Is motivation of my heart upward trajectory? Is motivation of my heart a better salary, better position? None of those things are bad. None of those things are bad. But acknowledging that those are motivations, you give them to God, and then God, who loves you, will provide for you no matter what, then will say, hey, thank you for trusting me with these. Mm. Go take that job. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, yeah, that's not the place. I have something better for you. So recognizing that, you know, what does Romans 12 say? That if we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, then we will know His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So that transformation, I think, is a key part. And it only happens the more we walk with the Lord. So it's an exercise that we never grow out of.
Through my role, I've gotten a chance to hear both of y'all teach, whether it's in a married people context or a parenthood. And even though I'm not in either of those categories, I feel like both of those spaces have so many books, so many self-help tips and blogs and, you know, tweets and everything else. And yet some of the common truths have been talking about the ancient path and just the way that it really comes down to, amidst this, what do I do about this situation? I mean, I have so much respect for those that are married and our parents, because that's such a fluid situation. And it's just impossible to constantly be knowing, okay, what does God want you to do in this exact moment, or how to say it, or when to say it? But really, y'all have come back to this truth of just really submitting to the Lord, and just like, we have through His word, what those next steps are, what those simple simple things are. And so for me, when I looked at this list, Sean, the part that I almost laughed at was the part where you say, obey the last thing God told you to do, because that resonated so much with me, because I can really overthink things. I can really, you know, go through this, read my word, all this stuff, feel like God wants me to do something. And then I'm like, no, what else? You know? And so then I come back to him or someone, you know, even getting coffee with a friend, and I feel like this is what God's telling me to do, but I don't want to do it. And then 2 weeks later, they ask me again. I'm like, I'm hoping for something else, you know? And so really I think that reassures people like me that can be overthinkers in a lot of stuff, because it's like, okay, what is the last thing that I heard from God, even when it feels quiet or I'm super distracted right now? And so, but just that idea that it actually is more simple than I think that people like me tend to make it.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes obeying the last thing that he told you to do is just going to that quiet place and submitting and hanging out with him. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've done that, needing an answer, thinking I have to have an answer, and not getting one. I didn't get the audible voice. I didn't get the gut feeling. Mm-hmm. In the instance with Christina and I and our decision to move back to the state, this is what we heard from the Lord. Each of us individually heard him say, I don't really care. Mm. That's what we heard him say. Mm. Like, I was embarrassed to go back to Christina after days of praying. I'm like, I don't even want to tell you what I heard. And she's like, well, you go first. You're the leader. And I'm like, okay. He said he didn't really care what we do. She goes, believe it or not, that's exactly what he said to me. And I was like, what does that mean? Like, he's supposed to care. And so we get the Bible out and we're like, all right, well, let's confirm this with scripture. And we're reading, you know, and is it Jeremiah where it says, for I know the plans I have for you, you know, and so we're like, it says he knows the plans he has for us. He has to care. He has to have a decision on this path. And we're like, well, let's keep reading. We read a couple of chapters later and God says to Jeremiah, the same guy he said, for I know the plans I have for you. He says to Jeremiah, you've been faithful. Here's the land before you.
It's great.
Choose where you want to live.
That's great. There it is.
I'm like, what in the world? That's exactly the scripture. Just confirmed that idea that sometimes God's going to be like, I'm really, you go, you choose. I'm going to go with
both
you.
Are good.
Yeah, they're both good. And I'm going to go with you. And if you choose to submit to me, the last thing I told you to do, maybe obey that. Submit to me. If you do that, whichever path you choose is going to be great.
And now looking back, would you say you discerned correctly?
Can I answer that? Or?
Yeah, it was a trick question.
I'll give you my answer, but no, that's so good.
Very well, it's grateful. Fun, just since we're here, and I wanted to affirm her anyway. Laurel has been on these podcasts and doing a great job
behind the scenes
so long, and she's at a choice point in her life and making some choices, and we're super proud of you.
We are.
You are such a servant for this church and for the people in this community, and you're not going anywhere. Thankfully, we know where you're going to be, and we're going to see you on Sundays, but we love you so much, and we're very grateful for what you've
really
done.
Proud, Laurel, and love that we are talking about this. I know this is super uncomfortable for you and unplanned, but this idea of hearing God's voice that really launches us where he wants us to go, and there's a difference between trying to hold on or grab to what we have so that we can keep work or job or again, but God's plans are so much greater. So when we are open-handed and say, all right, Lord, where do you want to send me? Then he will mm-hmm. open up doors. So truly grateful for you. And also think it ties in personally. This is cool. You and Christina prayed. Taylor and I prayed too. We were living out of the state. At first I thought you said out of the states. I'm like, I didn't know that you lived abroad. Out of the state, the great state of Texas.
When you grew up in Texas, everything's international from here.
So for us, when we were approached with the opportunity to move back to Wimberley, we did the same thing. So I didn't know you yet, Sean. So this truly was all God, where I had so many thoughts and I was ready to share with Taylor. I'm an external processor. She's an internal processor. And so in his mercy, he stopped me. And in his mercy, even greater of a gift for me, there was a pickup soccer game happening about a few blocks away from our apartment. So I told her, hey, I'm going to go play soccer. You sit, pray, and then we'll come back and see just in that time how we're feeling. I had already felt the Lord imprint some things quickly on my heart. So we came back together and we both felt the same thing, that this was a serious thing that we needed to consider. And so we fasted and prayed for 2 weeks, and that's what led us to come back to Texas, which is when I met Laurel when she was going into high school. And so anyway, isn't God awesome? You look back, and I think that's it's maybe not encouraging if you're looking for a decision or for, all right, Lord, I need you right now. But the comfort is that he's faithful, that don't be afraid of missing his voice. If you are seeking him, you will find him. And this list does a great job. Be open to any method God may be speaking to you. Resist the enemy distracting or deceiving you. Obey the last thing God told you. Confirm what you heard with wise people. So we kind of dogged on people earlier, but this is important to bring a few wise people that love you, know God intimately, to ask, hey, what do you think?
Yeah. And practice, you know, hearing anybody's voice clearly, it just takes practice. Submitting yourself takes practice. So ask him. Practice listening. See how long you can go. I'm going to give the over-under at 6 seconds that you can go with your mind quieted and nothing in it before a thought pops in.
Bob Moss would challenge that.
I'm on the other end of that. Yeah. So Bob may on one end, I'm holding down the average on the other side.
So hard. So try it. Try to stay silent and listen for the Lord. And then second, I would say, if you have something big, come to PMT on Monday night. There are people there who love Jesus and who hear his voice and have practiced this for years, and they will help you to hear from him, and they will intercede for you so that you can hear from him. Maybe hear from him on your behalf. That happens too. And then just lastly, you mentioned you and Taylor, and I think it's worth saying, because some of the people listening may be married. We both gave examples of big decisions where we felt like we needed to pray and our spouses needed to pray and we needed to come together. And I've seen this go poorly where, in big decisions, the husband and wife have been on a different page and the husband said, well, you know, I'm the leader, submit to me and we're doing this. And that's just an abuse of authority when that happens. If you're married, the two of you are one, and in big things, you need to work hard to seek unity. And the Lord's not gonna, he's not a God of confusion. He's not gonna tell one of you one thing and one of you something else. And so continue to press in. If you're married and you've got something big that you need to hear from the Lord around, press in separately, talk about it together, pray together. And if you're still stuck, you know, get somebody to come in and kind of help you, get some wise counsel, somebody from the outside to kind of talk and pray it through with you. God is for your marriage and he's for your family, and he does not want to create disunity.
I'm glad you brought that up. This verse has helped me to lead your wives in an understanding way. So there's a difference when I sense, and I am fast, I have quick ideas and I want to shoot and go and execute, and to really pause and say, all right, I'm going to create space to allow Taylor to share vulnerably, openly, without me asking for, like, just go. And that verse is key, because the more you understand your spouse as husbands, the more you'll learn to love them.
You know what the second part of that 1 Peter 3:7 verse says?
Hit me.
It says, husbands, lead your wives in an understanding way so as not to hinder your prayer life.
Yep, that's
right. Your hearing from the Lord could be hindered by your inability to take the time to understand your wife. So it all ties
full
in
circle.
Together. Good verse.
Full circle.
We're in the midst of 40 days of prayer. I thought about this as you were sharing, both of y'all, about overseers.
Yep.
And just, it's something that every now and then it kind of comes to the forefront as we're praying for overseer candidates. But something, Jose, you've shared, I don't know if you've mentioned it on Sunday, but I know we've had conversations about it, as far as how y'all govern, for lack of a better word, as far as through consensus and not just as far as a majority vote. And I feel like that's been powerful for me to hear, because sometimes, Sean, what you were just talking about getting different answers, I've heard, Jose, you share that when that has happened, that just means to wait and pause and keep praying instead of just trying to who has the loudest voice or who can kind of win over the most people. But it really is like seeking that consensus that can be hard and not at the timeline that we're all wanting. But I've just seen how that's important for overseers.
Which is the heart of what Philip did. He's truly depending on the Lord. His trust is in God, and he doesn't want to lean on his own understanding. He's not trying to hit his agenda. He's willing to run alongside a chariot and listen to the Isaiah scroll being read by this Ethiopian eunuch. And when we depend on God to that level, he's able to do incredible things, to the point that you said, Sean, we're sitting here because the gospel went forth through Philip, to Ethiopia, now all the way here, thousands of years later. So how awesome is it?
Like, it's incredible.
This is a story that was not only about then, it's about now.
Yeah.
He's doing this now.
So much. Jesus told the parable of the shepherd who left the 99 to go after the one. And I can't help but think of that as I think about Philip. He's in the middle of this revival happening in Samaria with a group of people who are half-breeds in the terms of part Jewish, part Gentile, and great things are happening. And God says, I need you to leave that.
Yeah.
And I need you to go out on that road. And you end up with finding the one that was making his way down the path. And I can't help but believe God saw this faithful man, this Ethiopian eunuch who came seeking God and came to Jerusalem, came to the temple, was rejected there. And I just picture this loving God looking down and saying, wait a minute, there goes my faithful one. Somebody's got to go. And he could have sent anybody, but he said, I'm going to send the guy that's the most powerful and influential right now. I'm sending him. That's how much I love him. And you can't help but realize that that's what he did for us. You know, he said, I could send anybody, I could come up with any plan, but I'm going to send the most important thing in my life, my son, to die for each and every person that I love, that loves me. And he did it. And we walk in that.
I love that. Do you think that Jesus was running a 10-minute mile, 12-minute mile running after that one?
I think the sandals had to have slowed him down a little bit. But, you know, I mean, when you're wrangling sheep, you got to be pretty quick.
I was thinking he was a little faster than that. But I was comforted, because right now that's about my mile time these days, which is not something I'm very proud of. But the point is that we're not done watching God run after people. Next chapter, we'll see another man that God uses to find a one who truly changes the course of world history. So great conversation, guys, and I can't wait for next week.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations Podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.